Welcome to another edition of Slice Your Age in Half. I am Dr. David Matto, and this is the show where we help you live better, thinner, stronger, and happier. I'm coming to you today from my home studio in Reisterstown, Maryland. I should say beautiful Reisterstown, Maryland, here in the mid-Atlantic states, where it's fall now, and the leaves are just gorgeous. All the colors out there just look fantastic. It's a beautiful time of the year. It really is. By the way, if you have questions you would like to ask me, if you want to get in touch with me during the show here, I am on Facebook, facebook.com/DavidMatto. Good way to get questions to me there. And also, you can feel free to email me at rundrdave@gmail.com. RunDrDave is R-U-N-D-R-D-A-V-E. rundrdave@gmail.com. I love answering your questions. I absolutely love doing it. That's what the show is all about. That's why I'm here. I want to help you become the best possible person and the healthiest possible person you can. And we can do that right here on Slice Your Age in Half. So I just got finished a workout this morning. What I did, I strapped a 50-pound backpack onto my back and did about a 4-mile walk in my area here. I'll tell you something, it's one of the best workouts you could possibly do. Now, I'm doing it for a reason. I'm going to be taking a group of beginner backpackers to Grand Canyon next week, actually. We're doing a four-day backpacking trip, which means we carry every single thing we need for 4 days on our backs. And we go into the backcountry of the Grand Canyon, which is absolutely gorgeous. You're basically, you're cooking outside, you're sleeping in a tent, a sleeping bag. It's the most beautiful thing you could ever imagine, especially in the Grand Canyon. I've done it quite a number of times. Those of you that know me know that Grand Canyon is one of my favorite places to backpack. I try to do it once or twice every year. I've been doing it for many years. And it's a great workout, but not only is it a great workout, but it's just a blast. It's so beautiful. You can't imagine the beauty of seeing the inner canyon. You know, when most people go see the Grand Canyon, they're on a tour, they're on vacation, they pull up in a car or on a bus to the rim of the Grand Canyon, look over and take pictures, and maybe have a meal in the dining room or the cafeterias or whatever they may be, and buy some gifts in the gift shop. I tell you, that's the way 99% of the visitors see the Grand Canyon. But there's so much beauty when you actually hike down into the canyon, towards the Colorado River. You can't imagine how beautiful it is. So yeah, I'll be taking a group of beginners there next week. Next week we're doing that 4-day trip. But in order to prepare for that, it's a serious trip. It's even though it's a beginner's level trip, there's no such thing as easy hiking in the Grand Canyon. There's no such thing. It's desert environment. You're starting off at about over 7,000 feet of elevation at the rim, at the south rim. And when you hike down, you're hiking down to the river, which is about 2,000 feet of elevation. It's about a mile vertical. And then when you're tired at the end of the trip, the opposite of hiking a mountain, when you're tired, you get the reward of going down. When you're tired here at the end of the trip in the Grand Canyon, you have to hike up about a 9-mile all-day hike to get out of the canyon back up to the rim with a pack on your back. It is not easy. So we have to train for that, of course. No matter what kind of shape you're in, you have to train for that. And the best way I train, I think the best way to do it is to simulate the environment of what you're going to be doing. So I put a 50-pound pack on my back. Now, when we're backpacking in the Grand Canyon on this beginner's trip, my pack will not be 50. It'll probably be more like 40, high 30s or 40. But I think when you train with heavier weight, it just gets you that much better shape. Then when I'm able to put a 38, 39, 40-pound pack on my back when we're doing the real thing, it's going to feel like it's some balloons. It's going to feel so easy. It's going to feel like popcorn and balloons and maybe a pillow. It's not going to be quite that easy, but it's going to feel better than if I hadn't trained. But when you take a walk and you put weight on your back, it doesn't have to be a 50-pound backpack. That's what I'm doing now. But let's say you walked around with a 20-pound backpack on your back and you took a 4-mile walk. Let me tell you something. That is a workout. It's a great workout. And do that a couple times a week. I'm telling you something. You're going to have some of the best legs you've ever seen in your life. And you do a few squats with the backpack on, and your buttocks and your glutes. You're going to be looking so darn good. People are going to say, hey, how did you get in such good shape? And your tummy is going to be flatter. There's some little tricks I love. And like I've told you before, you don't really have to go to a gym to be in great shape. Let me tell you something. You put a pack on your back and you go take a walk, you're going to be in better shape than most of the people that are kind of screwing around in the gym on a treadmill for 15 minutes. I'm telling you that. You will be in much better shape. And the benefit is you do not have to pay gym membership. I'm not anti-gym. I've been there, done that. I've been a gym member. I had been a gym member for a long time. I'm not anti-gym, but I think there's so many things you can do to stay in the best shape of your life without having to pay a gym membership and get in your car and drive to a gym. So anyway, that's what I did this morning before the broadcast, and I feel great. I just feel like now that I take the pack off, I feel like I've just lifted a 100-pound weight off my shoulders, off my back. It feels so good. But you know, when you backpack, just let you know, you're not really using your shoulders and your back to hold all that weight. Your hips are doing most of the work. It's actually secured really tightly around your hips, that you got a really nice wide hip belt, and that actually does most of the work. So you see these kids going to school with these really, really heavy backpacks with these books, and I don't know what they put in them these days, but they're so darn heavy, and they're not really high quality backpacks to take the weight off of your back and shoulder. So these kids are going to have some back and shoulder problems if they got a real backpacker's backpack and are able to keep all of the weight harnessed around the hips, and the hips are doing all the work. It's so much easier. So if you're getting a backpack for any reason at all, make sure you go to a good store that they fit you for it, and you've got really, really great hip support. I've got a question here from Jim. Jim, actually a local guy, Jim from Maryland here, is asking me, he says, Dave, I know you love the Grand Canyon, and I know you have backpacked there many times. My question to you is, why do you keep going back to the same park and backpacking when the United States has so many different places to backpack and so many different parks that are beautiful? Why do you keep going back to the same place? Jim, hey, listen, great question. I really respect that a lot. And the only way I'll answer that is I'll say I happen to love the Grand Canyon. I've backpacked some different places around the U.S. I love the Grand Canyon. And it's getting to the point where I've done it so many times there. I like to call myself an expert at the Grand Canyon, which means I'm now able to take friends there, take beginners there that have never backpacked before, and I feel very, very comfortable that I can get them through a beginner's level backpack trip just because I know the park so well. I've worked there as a preventive search and rescue ranger for several summers, and that combined with my backpacking trips and backpacking experience there gives me such a very high confidence level that I know it pretty well, and I'm pretty good at it. Now, let me just tell you, Jim, also, when you backpack in the Grand Canyon, it's a vast park. It's tremendous. And there's so many different trips within the canyon. So, you know, it's not like we repeat the same thing every time. There are many different trails, many different levels of ability. And not only that, there's trails that I have not even been on the Grand Canyon, plenty of them, because either they're just too far away or too difficult. Some of the really, really difficult ones, I don't want to risk my life there, you know, so I kind of stay away from the ultra difficult. But I've done enough there, and I know the layout, the topography, the geography so well that, again, I just, first of all, I'll back up for a second, because it's absolutely gorgeous. I can't think of too many places on the planet that are more beautiful than the Grand Canyon. It's just a beautiful place when you get into the inner canyon. And again, I feel like if I, for example, let's say I went to Yosemite and backpacked there, I'm sure I would do fine. But would I feel comfortable taking a group there, taking beginners there? No, I wouldn't, because I just don't know the layout very well. I'd have to backpack there several times and know it pretty well before I felt comfortable taking people and you know, risking their experience and their safety on a place that I've never been or been to only once. So, you know, again, it's a great question, Jim. And I just, I guess the bottom line is I love it and I know it very well. I'm very confident with the Grand Canyon, and there's always a new experience, even though I keep going back and back. And I go a couple times a year generally, but there's always a new experience in the Grand Canyon. You know, it's funny, I don't talk about this part of my Grand Canyon experience that much, but long time ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, 10 years plus, when I first started backpacking Grand Canyon, actually it was longer than that, I ran into some trouble there, like beginner backpackers run into, and some of the problems I had were some heat-related issues. It gets really hot there. As I said, it's a desert environment. You really got to make sure you're eating right and taking in the right amount of electrolytes. You're not drinking too much, but you're drinking enough. You know, when you drink too much, and this goes for anything, this goes if you're a marathon runner, it goes for if you're doing any type of endurance activity. If you drink too much water, that sets you up for many problems. So, you know, you're afraid of being dehydrated, so you keep drinking and drinking and drinking. And when you do that, that actually causes some very serious, it can cause some very serious issues, one of which is hyponatremia, better known as maybe as water poisoning. When your body has too much water, what it does, it really, really screws up your electrolyte imbalance where you don't have enough electrolytes circulating through. And that actually can become a life-threatening issue, hyponatremia. So when you're working out, running, backpacking, doing any type of physical activity, and you want to keep, you know, you want to keep hydrated and you want to drink, be careful not to drink too much. I have seen people, I saw somebody, I was running in the Twin Cities Marathon last weekend. I saw a woman that stopped around, probably around mile 20 or 21. It was towards the end, and she was just profusely vomiting up kind of clear to semi-clear liquid, which it looked kind of like you know, Gatorade or some type of energy drink. It just looked like it, like a yellowish or greenish type liquid. It was, you know, no food, but it just looked like Gatorade. And there's a pretty good chance that she was having some type of hyponatremia, that she was just drinking way too much, and it just started coming out of her. You got to be very, very careful with that. So yeah, there were some times that I was backpacking in Grand Canyon that I had some pretty serious issues, and I thought there was one or two times I thought I'd never make it out of there. I kind of keep that quiet these days because I'm so past that. I've learned how to eat and drink and manage my electrolytes in any type of endurance activity. But, you know, we're human and we're never perfect. And, you know, it's still possible for anybody to mess up. So you got to be really careful with that kind of stuff. I've got a question here from Margaret from St. Louis, Missouri. Margaret is asking me, she says, Dave, I am having a tough time becoming motivated, and I am very seriously considering hiring a personal trainer at my local gym. I'd like your comments on that. Well, Margaret, here's what I think. I mean, you know, it's okay. Do you need a personal trainer? No, I don't think you do. I don't think we need personal trainers. I've been through personal trainers in the past, and you know, I had some good experiences. But in the end, it comes down to you being responsible for your workouts, for getting up in the morning and going out and doing something. It does not have to be an elaborate workout. Personal trainers are going to cost you a lot of money. You know, you got your gym membership, and you've got your, on top of that, you're paying somebody by the hour, a professional by the hour. So, you know, by the end of the month, you will have spent a lot of money on this. Now, if you have the money and it's not a big deal, and you want some company, then I say, by all means, go for it. But to all my listeners, do you need a personal trainer to get into shape and stay in shape? And I'm going to say an emphatic no. You don't have to have one. Again, some of my favorite exercises, you can pretty much get out of bed in the morning and get out and take a 4-mile walk. You know, I've talked to you about walking before. It's by far my favorite exercise. And I believe in the magic four. The magic four meaning when you do a 4-mile walk consistently, you know, several times per week, even every day, if you do that, you're going to see some tremendous changes in your body. I mean, tremendous changes physically and mentally. You're going to feel like a new person. I mean, you're going to lose the flab that you have around your stomach. You're going to just, you're going to feel stronger. You're going to lose some fat in your face. Your face is going to start to look thinner. You're just going to start eating better. You're going to feel like a different person. I call that the magic four. So, Margaret, you know, I think almost anybody can get up in the morning. It's going to take an hour. It's going to take an hour to do it. So do you have time to do it every single day? Maybe not. Do you have to work up to it? Maybe. Maybe some people are just not ready to do a 4-mile walk right now. That's okay. Start with a half a mile. It doesn't really matter. But do you need a personal trainer? Well, certainly not to walk, certainly not to be in your home gym, which when I say your home gym, I mean a room in your home that you designate as your quote-unquote gym. It could be your living room. It could be the basement. But you don't need a personal trainer to stand next to you to tell you to do push-ups. You don't need a personal trainer to hook one of those $10 bars up on your door and have you do chin-ups or pull-ups. Or have you do crunches at home, or have you do free lunges or free squats, meaning not using any weight at all. You just don't need a personal trainer for these really simple but very, very effective exercises. What you do need is a pad of paper, a legal pad or a pad of paper that you write your goals for the week. I'm going to do 20 push-ups. I'm going to do 20 free squats. I'm going to do some lunges. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And when you do them, I'm going to do a 4-mile walk. And when you do them, you check them off. And at the end of the week, you better have everything checked off. And then you'll see you're reaching your goals. And then for the next week, you set different goals or maybe the same goals. You set goals every single week. And as you get there, as you do them, you just simply check them off. Do you need a personal trainer to be checking things off for you? I don't think so. Now, if you've never worked out, if you want to really learn how to use some weights and have some really good weight training exercises, then a personal trainer is certainly good, because if you don't know anything about weight training, you do risk injuring yourself. One thing I found with weight training is start slow. Even if you think you can lift more and more and more, start slow and take it easy, because as soon as you start doing too much too fast, or too heavy too fast, or too many reps, you're going to injure yourself. Believe me, it's happened to me countless times. It happened to me fairly recently. I was really trying to work my way up and do as many push-ups as I could, once or twice a week only. But as I started getting into the huge numbers, I mean, I was doing over 200 push-ups at a time, with breaks in between the sets, but over 200 push-ups at a time, I noticed I started getting injured because I was just doing more than my body wanted me to do. So I just started backing off and doing lower numbers, and I feel much better now. So just that's a little tip from me. I'm not a personal trainer, but if you do go into the gym or into your home gym, do not try to do too much weight too soon, too fast, too many reps. I can guarantee if you do that, you are going to injure yourself. Margaret, good luck to you. That was actually a really good question and a pretty common one that Margaret asked about personal trainers. And I just I've been through it. Don't think they're necessary, and they are generally very, very expensive. So, thanks for the question, Margaret. And just again, if anybody has any questions, if you want me to answer them on the podcast here on Slice Your Age in Half, where we're trying to make you younger, trying to make you look younger, feel younger, stronger, thinner, the whole nine yards, feel free to reach me on my Facebook page, which is David Maddow, DavidMadow on Facebook. Search for me. You will find me on Facebook. Or simply send one to my Gmail. It's rundrdave, RUNDRDAVE @gmail.com. Keep your questions short and to the point. You don't have to elaborate. Just ask me a simple question. I will get to it on the air, on the podcast here, and we'll get your questions answered for sure. Love it. The next question we have is from Jamie in Boca Raton, Florida. Jamie asks me how often I weigh myself and why. Hey, Jamie, how's it going down in Boca Raton there? Great question. The answer to that question is I weigh myself every day, or as close to every day as possible, because, that's how I kind of got to know my body. And I got to give the scale a lot of this credit, because, it's an instrument like anything else, and you wouldn't really want to drive your car too far without having that fuel gauge to see how much fuel you have, or to see your the temperature gauge in your car, or the speedometer, or even when you walk outside, you use a thermometer to see what the temperature is outside. With your body, when you go to the physician, they measure your blood pressure with a blood pressure sphygmomanometer. So they're all kind of instruments that have to do with your body, or maybe don't even have to do with your body. The purpose is to take some type of measurement. Now, the scale is just that. It is an instrument, and used right, you will really learn a tremendous amount about your body. You know, I can kind of tell basically where I am, but I use the scale to confirm it. And if I look at myself and I feel like I look at the scale and I feel like I'm a little bit heavier than my ideal weight, I'll back off on something a little bit till I get down to my ideal weight. I'm talking about it, you know, usually a couple pounds. And if I feel like I'm a little bit under my ideal weight, that gives me kind of a free pass to eat a little bit more that day or over the next couple days. So it really kind of lets you make sure you're in the zone of exactly where you want to be. So yeah, Jamie, every day I've been doing it for years. And I got to tell you, a few years back, I got this birthday gift. It's called I'm pretty sure it's called a Why Things Scale. WITHINGS, Why Things. It's an internet scale. And you might be saying, so why do I need the internet to weigh myself? Well, you don't have to, but let me tell you what this does, Jamie, because it's really, really cool. This, when hooked up to your home network, you get on the scale, it detects who you are. So in other words, you can have more than one member of your family using having an account on the scale. So it detects who you are, number one. Then you step on it, it gives you your weight. Then a few seconds later, it gives you your body fat percentage. And then it will give you your BMI and body mass index. And not only will it give you all three of those measurements, but it'll keep a log, because since it's you're online with it, it'll keep a log. And so all you have to do is go onto your computer anytime, or now they've got an app for the iPhone. I believe they have it for the Droid as well. So wherever I am, if I'm just curious to know what my weight was back in January 1st, 2010, I can go on my iPhone. I can be somewhere halfway around the world, go on my iPhone and see that I weigh. This was my weight. This was my percent body fat, and this was my BMI back on January 1st, 2010. And you get to see the trends. I mean, sometimes I go back and I can't believe that. Wow, I weighed that. I was a little bit too heavy back then, and now I kind of tweaked everything, and my eating program is just right, and I'm exactly where I want to be. And it keeps you honest. So Jamie, and knowing my weight every single day, granted, sometimes if I'm traveling, if I'm doing a seminar somewhere, I don't carry a scale generally with me. Although when I go away for more than a week at a time, I do have a little travel scale that I bought, fits right in my suitcase. I got it on Amazon. I can't remember the brand of it right now, but it's very, very small and light. And it'll basically fit right in my suitcase. So when I, you all know that many of you know that I go to Colorado for a good month and a half in the winter. My home base is Breckenridge, Colorado during the winter. And I bring the scale with me there because, you know, I wouldn't want to go a month and a half without weighing myself. And so I got this little travel scale. So check, I can get back to you and let you know what the brand is on that. But if you just go on Amazon and just do a search for travel scale, I'm pretty sure it'll come up, and that works pretty well. So Jamie, a great question. And yeah, I'm a firm believer in weighing myself every single day. So I've got something fairly new, and it's called the Scream. And I invite you or anybody that has done something that has really changed their lives, whether it's something physical, lost a lot of weight, completed a marathon or a triathlon, or it could be anything. And if you feel like you've really accomplished something that made a difference in your life and your lifestyle, you're invited to come to my studio right here and do what we call the Scream. We have Terry in the studio with us today. Terry, welcome.
Hi.
What brings you to the studio today?
I want to do the Scream.
You came from where to do the Scream?
Reisterstown.
So not too far. But what are you going to be screaming about, Terry?
I've lost a lot of weight.
You've lost a lot of weight. How much can you... Okay, so tell us how much weight you've lost in total.
388 pounds to date.
388 pounds. Wow, that is incredible. I want to know... I've got a few questions for you. 388 pounds is just... I can't even imagine losing that kind of weight. So my first question is, before you lost that kind of weight, what did you feel like every day? I'm going to say walking around with 388 extra pounds. I'm not even so sure you could walk. Tell us how you felt.
Well, carrying around an additional 388 pounds was a chore. I had to have two canes to even facilitate getting up and moving. essentially, I got in the car, drove to work, sat at a desk chair, got out of that chair, drove, got in the car, drove home. And that was my life. You know, there was no, let's go to the park or let's go to the mall. That just didn't happen, because that would have been way too out of my range of comfort and being able to move around.
Did you feel your life was like kind of like spiraling out of control? I mean, what did you feel like psychologically?
Well, yeah, I felt out of control. I felt like I was in a black hole that was an abyss that was swallowing me up.
So, okay, what did it take? Like, what was that magic moment that something went off in your brain and you said, okay, I can't do this anymore. I've got to make a change in my life. What was it and when was it?
It was in September of 2008. I met a gentleman who was a chiropractor and a weight loss coach up in Philadelphia. I work for a chiropractor, so we were discussing another matter, and he said to me, you know, I can help you. And I said, yeah, I've heard that before. And he really could help me. We had to deal with a lot of issues, and one of the biggest issues we had to deal with was the overwhelming sense of worthlessness that I had lived my life with.
Well, so a kind of like you, did you hire him as kind of almost like your coach? And he
Correct.
Kind of.
He became my lifestyles coach.
Your lifestyle coach, and he kind of saw you through this whole process of losing 388 pounds.
Correct.
Over what kind of time frame did you lose that weight?
It's been an ongoing process over the last 5 years.
Well, I'll say congratulations, first of all. That's just an amazing accomplishment, Terry, to lose that kind of weight. I mean, kudos to you. That is incredible. Share with me some of the ways that you actually lost that weight. What did your routine turn into?
Well, my routine turned into that I started moving, and one of the things that the very first piece of exercise equipment I bought was a $2.50 hula hoop from Five Below, and I found that moving the hula hoop started helping stabilize my core, which is essential for everybody. You need to have your core muscles strengthened and workable so that they support your whole body. It's like the foundation for your house. If it's not there, your house is crumbling. Same thing for your body. So the movement of the hula hoop, which most people don't understand, uses all your core muscles. So that was my first piece of exercise equipment, and I did that as long as I could tolerate each day, and I just kept progressing. I started with 5 minutes one day and 10 3 days later and built it up as much as I could tolerate it until I was doing it for almost an hour. And then we decided it was time to move on to something else, to some other form of exercise.
And what was that?
I went into swimming.
Swimming. And what type of swimming were you doing? Swimming laps every day?
I was doing laps. And then as I progressed and lost more weight and was feeling more comfortable in my body, I got really into deep water running.
So, I mean, I don't want to – I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but like somebody that was 388 pounds heavier than you are now swimming laps, how did you do that? Seriously.
Slowly. The water makes you more buoyant, so you don't put as much stress on your joints and your muscles as you would if you were doing that kind of stuff on land. The movements of swimming uses almost every muscle set in the body. So it didn't matter if it took me 20 minutes to do one lap. I was still moving those muscles and burning the fat and getting the body conditioned to be alive again.
So hula hoop, swimming and walking in the water.
Walking in the water. I started walking in the water and then progressed to deep water running, which takes a great deal of stamina to do.
It's tough to do. I know. Yeah. It's not easy for anybody to do. And any other types of exercise, or are those like kind of like your main?
Those are my main ones. I do have what is called a ProFit Go Gym, which is a band set, the resistance bands. And I use those some mornings. And then I progressed because of the accident that I had a year ago. We had to stop all of that sort of aggressive exercise. And thanks to a friend of mine that's really into this intuitive healing, she's gotten me hooked up with yoga to heal the body. And I've been doing that for the last 6 months. And that's really keeping my body moving and keeping things stretched and aligned while my body is healing from the accident.
And how many times a week do you exercise, or did you exercise when you were going through this, like the massive weight loss? How many times a week was that?
6 days a week.
6 days a week. One day off, huh?
Yeah, Sunday.
Wow, that's incredible. That's great. So you were just extremely disciplined to do this every single day with one day off.
Yeah.
Good for you. Now, tell us about your eating program. How did you change your eating?
Well, I went from eating a lot of fast food, a lot of processed foods, a lot of crap, essentially. I mean, I'd start my morning with 2 chocolate-covered fudge Pop-Tarts. And I can't even, saying that now is like unbelievable. So I now eat a lot of, when I can get it, organically grown fruits and vegetables, lean protein. I eat 5 or 6 small meals a day. I don't do, you know, 1 or 2 large meals. I also eat my largest meal at what would be considered the lunchtime hour. And then something very light in the evening so that I'm going to bed not on an empty stomach, but also not on this overly full, you know, stomach that just has this lead weight laying in it.
Did you ever say when you were, especially when you were first getting started, when you, you know, you knew you had to lose over 300 pounds, did you ever say, it's just too much? There's no way I can do it. It's not even worth trying. It's just way too much.
Every day. Every day. I said that to my coach. Every day.
And how did you overcome that, though?
He has an expression of the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And we did this one bite at a time.
I love it. Isn't that true?
It's
so true for
Absolutely.
Anything. You know, it's funny because people say to me, well, you know, I want to run a marathon, but I just don't think I can do it. So I use the same expression, you know, just it's like one step at a time.
That's right.
And it gets done.
Yep.
Incredible. What would you say if somebody was listening that also had some type of a weight problem and they wanted to really lose weight, but they really didn't know how to start, they weren't motivated, and they kind of felt the same way? You know, I just don't know how to do it, and it's too much. I can't do it, so I'm not going to mess with it. What would you say to them?
I'd say, first off, nothing in this life can't be overcome. What the mind can believe can be achieved. So start visioning yourself at the weight you want to be. Start believing that you can do anything you set your mind to. Get a good coach. Get somebody to be there for you, to help hold you accountable and to support you through the process. Learn what your body needs for fuel, and then fuel it right.
Did you do any like daily affirmations, or do you have a vision board or anything like that?
All of the above. I have a vision board. I have daily affirmations. I have one of the things my coach coached me into doing about a year into my weight loss process was to get a full-length mirror and put it somewhere where I'd be able to see myself. And all around it are these daily affirmations that I say, and there's about 6 or 7 of them that I do every morning.
Incredible. Now, are you finished, or is this like a lifelong process?
This is a lifestyle, so no, I'm not finished. My body will continue to progressively lose the weight, even with the catastrophic accident that it was. My body has still continued to lose the weight this year, in the last year since the accident, even without doing the aggressive moving around that I was doing, because I'm still eating right, I'm still doing the yoga, I'm still having a positive mental attitude.
When you keep referring to accident, tell us just real briefly what kind of accident you had.
I was hit head-on by a drunk driver, severe enough that it knocked the engine out of the SUV I was driving. I was transported to Maryland, wow. Shock trauma, with a shattered rib cage and multiple other fractures.
Crazy. I hope they found him and took him off the road.
They have.
Okay, good, because I hate to see him do that to somebody else. Thank God you're okay with that,
Thank
Terry.
You.
So, okay, you ready for your scream?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll count down 3, 2, 1, and you give it your all because you deserve it, Terry. Congratulations to you for losing 388 pounds. That's just an incredible feat, and I can't give you the amount of congratulations that you deserve. So just, I'm going to say great job, and let's do that scream. 3, 2, 1.
I sliced my age in half.
Great job, Terry. Fantastic. So if you'd like to come to the studio and try the same thing, if you want to give a scream here, just don't show up. Don't show up unannounced. You got to send me an email. We got to schedule it, but I'd love to have you here. And if you're not able to make it, we could probably arrange something over the phone as well. So I'd love to have anybody that's interested, anybody that's really accomplished something really cool, come give a slice my age in half scream right here. I'm here to motivate you. I'm here to change your life. And it doesn't matter whether you are someone who has not exercised in 20 years. You've been laying on the sofa for the past 20 years. You've gained a lot of weight, and you just don't know where to start, or whether maybe you're somebody that's running or bicycling, swimming, and you want to get into something a little bit more. You want to start doing marathons or maybe triathlons or something like that. It doesn't matter what level you are. I love teaching. I love motivating. I can help you out. This is just, I get such pleasure out of helping my listeners, and I just hope that if my podcast is helping you in any way, please share it with a friend. This is the third edition right now, and we're just getting more and more listeners as each edition comes out. It's just been incredible. This is a blast doing this, and I thank each and every one of you for listening to Slice Your Age in Half. We'll put another edition of Slice Your Age in Half into the record books. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I am Dr. David Maddow.